Don't you love an extra $100 in your pocket? Have a TurboTax expert file your taxes for you by March 31st to get $100 back instantly. Because no matter what moves you made last year, TurboTax makes them count. That means getting $100 back and 100% accurate taxes only from Intuit TurboTax. Must file by 3/31. Credit only applicable to federal filing fees with TurboTax full service. Offer can be modified or terminated at any time.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
Alrighty. A strange thing happened, Joe. The clip that I was going to play disappeared. We had it all set up to go, and it's just gone. It was just out of there. And so we're going to play
a
different...
Has Ken been trying playing with those magic tricks there on his off time, making the rabbit come out and the hat and all that sort of stuff?
No, he's been looking for him, too.
Oh, okay. You know. We can't blame him, then.
Yeah, he's afraid of rabbits.
Oh, okay.
Alrighty. Anyhow, remember who it was right here, folks. We were the ones that proved it, that, remember Peter Cottontail to the liberals? Remember, we were the ones that proved that rabbits don't lay eggs, remember?
Right.
Those Easter
exactly.
eggs and that?
We upset several of those liberals.
They were angry. Anyhow,
yeah.
We're going to take a little clip, too, by Maria Bartiromo and Brian Donalds. They got a little something to say.
It was pretty surprising that the special counsel would state the obvious in writing that Joe Biden's mental capacity is diminished. I think we see that play out on a daily basis. What I'm concerned about is the fact that hidden within that document is evidence that some of the classified documents he mishandled were from Ukraine and China.
And that was House Oversight Committee Chairman Congressman James Comer with me here last month on Special Counsel Robert Hur's report investigating President Biden's handling of classified documents during his tenure as vice president. Hur declining to bring criminal charges against Biden in part due to what he said the jury would see as, quote, a sympathetic, well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory. Hur is scheduled to testify this week in front of the House Judiciary Committee. That's coming up this Tuesday, as House Republicans overseeing the Biden impeachment inquiry had their subpoena denied by the White House that the DOJ hand over transcripts and audio related to Hur's interview with President Biden. Meanwhile, Special Counsel Jack Smith continues to aggressively pursue criminal charges against former President Trump's handling of classified documents. He filed a number of arguments against Trump's bid to dismiss the case. Joining me right now in this Sunday Morning Futures exclusive is House Oversight Committee member, Florida Congressman Byron Donalds. Congressman, it's great to see you this morning. Thanks so much for being here.
Good to be back with you, Maria.
Your reaction to this approach, different approach, toward the classified documents case?
Look, I find it to be completely disgusting by the Department of Justice. House Oversight and House Judiciary are doing our jobs. We are requesting the information from the special counsel on his investigation into Joe Biden. And let's be clear, this is not about Joe Biden's activities during his presidency. It is the fact that he did take classified information from a secure facility when he was vice president and when he was a United States senator. Both are a violation of the Espionage Act. And having a poor memory does not absolve you from violating the Espionage Act. Being old and elderly does not absolve you from violating the Espionage Act. And so once again, you see the two-tier system of justice against Donald Trump simply because he is the Republican nominee and he is actually the person that would blunt the radical Democrat agenda. So what do the Democrats do? Weaponize the Department of Justice, go after their political rival. It is fascism here in the United States, brought to us by Joe Biden and the Democrats.
So where does the impeachment inquiry against President Biden stand at this point? You're a member of the Oversight Committee, and you and James Comer have talked about $30 million that you have identified going to Biden, 170 suspicious activity reports, the gift of a Porsche and two diamonds. I want to get your take on specifically what evidence you have, the most egregious evidence that you may have that points to Joe Biden being involved in the influence peddling that you and your committee have laid out.
Well, we have it with the fact that we now know that Hunter Biden did bring Joe Biden to this dinner at Cafe Milano. It has been talked about in various deposition transcripts from Tony Bobulinski to Devin Archer. When we asked Hunter Biden, he couldn't recall. You have the text message famously about requesting money from Chairman Zhao. The money showed up a week later. Hunter Biden, under oath, said he was high, can't remember the text message. But photos from the laptop from hell demonstrate that he actually was at Joe Biden's house on the day that the text message was sent. So you have Hunter Biden contradicting himself. That's evidence piece number one. Evidence piece number two is the fact that you have money that flows to Jim Biden on the same day checks are cut to Joe Biden. And then they're calling it a loan, but there are no loan documents that exist. That's number two. And then number three, and most importantly, I think if you're talking impeachment, Joe Biden has willfully violated immigration law in the United States. He has also violated Supreme Court ruling when it comes to student loans, and he does it with impunity. So I believe it's partly the oversight investigation, but it's also the willfulness of Joe Biden to ignore the Supreme Court and to not faithfully take care to execute the laws of the United States when it comes to border security.
In fact, during the State of the Union address, he tried to school the Supreme Court, attacking them for their decision on Roe v. Wade. Your reaction, and also give us your assessment of Biden's State of the Union this week.
Well, I found his scolding of the court disgusting, because the left will say that they want to respect the institution, except when they don't get their way. And then when they don't get their way, they want to call out Supreme Court justices in front of the world. That was outrageous. There was a reason why not the entire Supreme Court was not there, because I think they understood they didn't want to be subjected to Joe Biden's foolishness. On a whole, the State of the Union speech was disgusting. I've never seen a speech like this where the opposition party from the president's party did not stand for an hour in that speech. It was partisan. It was a campaign speech. He was trying to prove himself to his political base, because they have serious questions about his ability. And frankly, they should have serious questions about his ability. But it was not about the United States of America. It was not addressing the true state of the union, which is unraveling a bunch of the policies of Joe Biden, because they've been disastrous for America.
Well, this is what I really want to get to. I mean, the State of the Union is an opportunity for America to understand where the country stands on so many issues, whether it's economic or foreign policy or beyond. I walked away from that State of the Union not really having a clear understanding of what is the State of the Union. So I ask you, what is the State of the Union today?
Right now, under Joe Biden, we are a nation in decline. And it's truly sad, because America has so much promise. You could make the clear argument, Maria, that the only reason why our economy is still afloat is really because of the ingenuity, the hard work, the ethic, the grit of the American worker, the American businessman, the American financier, all of them working interdependently to just produce goods and services and enjoy America. It's the greatest nation in the world. But with this leadership from Joe Biden, where we have fallen behind on the world stage, we are falling behind when it comes to energy, we are falling behind when it comes to regulations, and the government gets bigger as a result. It's not been good for the United States. We can significantly do better. This is why I believe Donald Trump's going to be the 47th president of the United States.
Well, during the State of the Union, Biden said, and this is a quote, "I've already cut the deficit by over $1 trillion. That's just not true. According to the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, Maya McGuinness writes this: more than the entirety of the fall in the deficit can be explained by COVID relief enacted under both Trump and Biden expiring. So the COVID money has expired, and that is why the deficit went down. COVID-related spending fell by nearly $1.5 trillion between fiscal year 21 and 22, according to the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget. We're still waiting to see if you all are going to get your work done, the appropriations bills, and avoid a government shutdown within the next 2 weeks, right?
That is correct. Two quick things. Number one, your report is absolutely correct. And then Joe Biden did the dumbest thing ever. He juiced federal spending with his American so-called rescue plan, which created the disastrous inflation that has been crippling American consumers. But when it comes to the federal budget, I do believe we're going to get this work done finally. And it's important for the American people to understand that House Republicans were prepared to get all this done last September. But the reason why this could never get resolved is because Chuck Schumer and Senator Senate Democrats wanted to delay, 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 and delay some more, mostly for politics, but also just to get as much money into the government as possible to spend on reckless policy. It is unfortunate, but this is what happens when you have bad leadership in the Democrat Party. America can do better. And I'll even say for Democrat voters, they can do better as well, because the people leading their party are leading their party into oblivion. It's a shame seeing what's happened to the Democrat Party in America.
Congressman, it's great to have you this morning. Thanks very much. We'll be watching your work, of course. Thank you, sir.
We would disagree with anything that they said, would we? Already.
Thing.
Yeah, Steve is back with us. Steve, you there?
Yes, I am.
All righty. Okay.
You're like a bad penny, you just keep showing up, huh?
Yeah, well.
The pastor, he invited me to stay, but I had to let myself in the house, so
okay.
To do that.
We need to keep, we'll be keeping your missus in prayer. How's she doing?
Oh, she's good. She's sleeping. She's fine. So I'm down in the cellar, the basement, so that I don't keep her awake by talking too loud.
Yeah. I know when he's talking about, she had pneumonia, and boy, I had that about a month or so ago, and it is not a lot of fun. And
no, you know, she's got other problems going on, and to have that, I mean, they did the procedure up at Cleveland Clinic, and she was vomiting all the way home.
Oh, wow.
From there to where I live, so it was about an hour and a half drive. But, you know, Pastor, we were talking earlier, and I mentioned 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 9. And if you would allow me, I'd like to go through this with you just real quick. I'll just read it and tell you why I think this is exactly where we're at. And this is exactly why these Blue 22 are getting a pass by so many. You know, actually, they're fooling them. They're buffaloing other fellow conservatives. So 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 9. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. Verse 2, people will be lovers of themselves.
Okay, hold it. Here's a very, very important thing. Go back to verse 1. Okay, now you see where it says there is very specific where it says last days. And there's only two places in that, there in First Peter. The rest, they say in later days or in later times, or but they make, they don't say. Now this, when it says the last days, it means it's the very last part of the sixth dispensation period, just before the completion of the 70th week of Daniel. So that's very important to understand that, because that's, and all of those things that you're about to read, we're seeing right now. And so go ahead.
Yep. Nope. You're right. So verse 2, people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, verse 3, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, verse 4, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying its power, then we get admonished, have nothing to do with such people.
Okay.
Now, I could stop right there, and we could have a whole message on that. But it gets better or worse, depending on your point of view. But go ahead.
My suggestion is whatever you're reading from is not the King James. I would get rid of that and get a King James.
Yeah. I usually do the King James. I just pulled up what was the easiest to pull up, so I apologize. I don't know which translation this is. It's the New ESV Study Bible exclusive. So it's probably watered down a little bit.
A whole lot. But then, So what you're talking about, we're seeing all of those things right now. Now, wait a minute, Pastor. We haven't always had it the way it is now. We have never been in a time where we have been so morally reprobate in this country today. The morals are down. You're seeing right now. Let me give you an example of that. You have 91% of divorces now are initiated by the women. Now listen to this. Now this is an odd stat, because they have now what they call open marriages, And by that same number, 91% of marriages after 4 years, that when they open a marriage within 4 years, ends in divorce. So even the two numbers are the same. Here, so we're seeing this. Morality is you know, it's through the roof. People out there with this trans thing, sodomy. Right now in the public school, in some of the public schools, not only do they accept sodomy, they call LGBTQ, but they actually say it's a preferable lifestyle over heterosexuality, okay? That means that the country has become, and the leadership especially, and is coming. Where does judgment start? It starts in the church, and in that church it starts in the pulpit. The apostasy has never been anything like it is today. And these are real signs of the end time. And when you go on to read verses 7, where it talks about silly women laden with sin, right now, today, we see the men, the young men, are becoming more conservative because they're being attacked in the universities. More women are going to college than there are men. What does it say in Isaiah chapter 3? It talks about as a punishment for a rebellious people, Steve, God will give you women and incompetent men as leaders. And boy, do we have that. You see how many, all of these prosecuting attorneys, these women out there, George Soros sent his shopping list out and says, you go find me the most greedy, wicked women out there. And, well, not just women, too. The same thing with the men. But he specifically said, get me black women for his shopping list out there. But these prosecutors are corrupt. I mean, really corrupt. And the judicial system, look at Engron. Look at Engron there. Unbelievable. This guy sends nude pictures of himself around. I mean, you know, there you go.
Well, you know that Andrew Breitbart exposed, what's his name, in Congress. That was his whole big thing. Remember, he was sending around nude pictures?
Oh, Wiener. Congressman Wiener?
Yeah, Wiener, yeah, who was what's her name's wife or husband. That ended up being
Hillary's girlfriend.
Hillary's girlfriend, and now she's some other billionaire's lover or something. I saw a couple weeks ago. But anyway, yes, the corruption is at unprecedented levels. But let me go on. Verse 6. Now this is talking about those people that we just talked about, and he says at the end of verse 5. Well, verse 5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. So we're admonished right there. Don't have anything to do with these people. Now, verse 6, they are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain power over gullible women.
Okay, see, here's where, let me just stop you for a minute because you see, here's where you need another King James. That word there in houses is referring to church houses in 2 Timothy 3. Mm-hmm. It's referring to they go into church houses, not regular homes, but go ahead.
No, but that's all right. Like I said, this isn't my translation. I actually use the King James or the Darby. I have a Darby translation, which is also very good. It's back to the original Greek. But anyways, the point of this is, these gullible women who are loaded down with sin and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, verse 7, always learning but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Now, I always used to stop there, but then the Lord said, no, read on. So I read on a couple days later. The Lord showed this to me about 2 weeks ago and or brought it back to mind. And verse 8, just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also their teachers opposed the truth. Now that's key. They are men of deprived minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not, verse 9, they will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear or made clear to everyone.
It's true, but here's the thing. See, that what it's referring to, those so-called magicians were really, they were warlocks, okay?
Yes.
And what happens today, you know, Big Pharma is killing all these people. Big Pharma is killing so many people, the depopulation program. The people are stupid. They don't realize what's happening. We try to tell them. We try to tell them. But anyhow, and so that is witchcraft. Pharmakia means witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're doing. And we're telling people, we're telling. So it's being made known to a good population. In fact, we know that they have killed, the kill shots have killed over 17 million people and injured around 50 million others.
Yes. And they're still pushing it. They're still pushing it.
Yeah.
Right now. I was in Kroger's the other day, and they said, if you're 65 or older, you can come get your free COVID shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again. But here's the thing that I took from this that I thought was very, very I'm doing JTABS, okay? Shining the light of truth, justice, truth, and American values. I'm gonna shine the light. That's what I did when I went down to Columbus the first time, and that's why they took me out. It wasn't the Democrats who took me out in that hit trial. It was the Republicans because I didn't play ball with them. I stood up to leadership down there, and they wanted me to vote for something that was unconstitutional, and I said no. And I had leadership lean on me hard for 2 weeks. Trying to get me to change my vote, and I said no. I said it's unconstitutional. I was in a committee, and I said, "Look, you got enough votes here. You don't need my vote. I'm voting no." The day before the vote, Speaker Rosenberger calls me up and says, "Thank you for bringing this to my attention." And he pulled the amendment, but that was strike one against me. And then I had another committee meeting where there was something to do with it had to do with law enforcement and safety. And we listened to proponent and opponent testimony, and it wasn't safe. And I'm a safety guy first. You know, I'm big time, you know, 11 years active duty Air Force, 7 years a contractor, was in the first Gulf War, you know, safety first. So I told him again, no, I'm not going to vote for this bill because it's not safe. And law enforcement doesn't want it, and I agree with them. So this guy hounded me, this Republican hounded me for 2 weeks, tried to get me to change my vote. And I told him, no, again, same situation. You could pass this without me. You don't need my vote. You have enough. You have a majority. We had a 65 majority at the time out of 99 reps. I said, just go ahead and pass it. So they didn't bring it up for a vote. But that was strike two. That was strike two because they didn't want to be embarrassed by me saying no. And I don't know why, because I'm a nobody. But yet I was when I got in this argument about the bill being unconstitutional, Pastor, they told me it's not our job to decide what's constitutional or not.
Wait a minute. What?
Yeah, yeah. I was like, whoa, wait a minute, what did you take an oath to?
Yeah.
Yeah. What'd you take an oath to? But that's the attitude down there.
So yeah, I know.
I was blown away. But, Pastor, what God was showing me with these scriptures was that, and this is how I was feeling, I'm shining the light of truth on what's going on with the Blue 22 in a fight I didn't want to be involved in. But God has, you know, He said, who shall I send? And I, a long time ago, raised my hand and you said, send me, Lord. So I'm you know, I volunteered. I get it. I feel like Moses coming down with the tablet, the truth, and then they've got their little shiny golden calf, this DJ Swearingen, that they worship because he tells them what they want to hear. And they're like, oh, well, he makes us feel good because he tells us what they, you know, and it's like they idol worship him. It's like they're in a delusion that this guy is good, even though he's done all these evil things. And they believe them.
Yep.
And that blows my mind.
Well, here again, you've got all of these Democrats that are voting in the primary, and so are they running in their primaries, voting as Republicans. So come November, both of the candidates they send in there are going to be theirs. In other words, who cares which one? They're both going to be Democrats, even if they have an R behind their name.
Exactly.
You know, exactly. Steve, a minute ago you were saying you couldn't figure out why they were so concerned about your vote. It was because you said that there's two nasty words. They don't like the word Christ, and they don't like the word Constitution. And when you said that's not constitutional, that's why they worked so hard to get to change your vote. They didn't want somebody talking to the press, talking to other, you know, Congress critters there, and mention that word, it's not constitutional. That's why they came after you so hard.
No, I agree with you. I agree. And then the third strike was really simple. I was introducing legislation to move nuclear under renewables because if, you know, if they want to worship their green god, climate change, and they think that carbon is this evil thing, and we got to have this slush fund of money for carbon, you know, renewable energy, well, then they got to support, in my opinion, nuclear, because nuclear is zero carbon. And it's baseload energy, and wind and solar will never be. We don't want windmills, pinwheels, out here in our lake. We do not. That is a mistake. And, you know, when I was down there in Columbus in 2015, they wanted to shut down our nuclear power plants, and they wanted to run a extension cord to Tennessee that was building a new plant or something. And I told them no. I said, you know what happens with an extension cord? They get cut, either by an act of God or act of man. I said, we got two nuclear baseload power plants right here. We better keep these, and we better shore them up. So I introduced legislation. I didn't even get it introduced. I dropped it in legislative services. They were drafting it. And somehow, to my surprise, in March of 2015, I'd been there only 3 months, I got named in a hit sheet from Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who was the chairwoman of the Democrat National Party at the time. And in that hit piece, she says that Steve Krause's legislation needs to be opposed with all vigor, because they're going to lose jobs and stuff, and they're going to lose races if I get my legislation through. That was strike three, because you can't have that. Can't do what's good for the people. Can't talk about the Constitution. Can't talk, say no to the party and tell them, listen, I'm not voting with you because my conscience and my people and taking care of the people is more important to me than being a party loyalist.
Absolutely.
You have the phrase NIMBY mean anything to you?
No. What is that? Say it again.
Not in my backyard. You see, NIMBY. You want the solar power, but we don't want the windmills in our backyard. We want this and we want that, but we don't want it in our backyard. That's what, you know, the same thing you notice. Where is it that all the Martha's Vineyard, there are no windmills off of Martha's Vineyard?
Yeah.
They want them somewhere else. We're not, the rich are not going to have them block their view. They're not going to mess with their sailing boats. So just remember the phrase NIMBY. You don't want it not in my backyard, folks.
That's a great point because, you know, Obama, when he got his place in Martha's Vineyard, he installed like three. What was it 2,500 gallon natural gas tanks, something like that? Huge tanks on his estate in Martha's Vineyard. Why didn't he just put up a pinwheel? Why didn't he just put solar panels all over his lawn?
Natural gas is clean burning. It's efficient. It's the best heat you can have for cooking and water, hot water, and heating the house.
I got to jump in here. Steve, you know, that's kind of what they did here in Ohio with E-Check, didn't they? If you didn't fall in line, then you got E-Checked in your county. And, of course, they didn't.
Exactly.
The leadership made sure it wasn't in their county. But anyhow, find out about an addition, subtraction, multiplication, and how five loaves of bread and two fishes fed 5,000 people. Agape Christian Academy, annual open house, Thursday evening, March 14th, from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. The preschool through fourth grade at the Burton campus at 14220 Clarendon Troy Road. And that's in Burton, Ohio. And the fifth grade through 12th grade at the Troy campus at 1779 Clarendon Troy Road in Hiram, Ohio. And folks, you can get more information. Now listen, I helped actually about 18 years ago help these folks get started. And Sue and Russ, and they are, you know, they were the ones that started. In the first school, they had about 8 students, I think it was, in the very first day, and now there's several hundred. But Agape is a really good Christian school. It is a real great Christian school. I mean, they stick right with God's Word of the Bible. And I've talked to so many of the students out of Agape, these young men and women come out with a real good, godly, well, just a good, godly personality. And folks, that's where to go. In fact, my grandson's going there right now. And so let me give you the phone number. The phone number is 440-834-8022. You folks in Northeast Ohio, Lake, Geauga, Ashtabula, Trumbull, Portage counties, it's worth the drive. 440-834-8022. That's 440-834-8022. That's Agape Christian Academy. They're having their annual open house, and I highly, highly, highly recommend that school, folks. And that's Russ and Sue Gifford over there. Tell them when you, if you come out, tell them Pastor Ernie sent you. All right, we're coming to a break. We'll be back right after this. Hang tight. Boy, it's a good thing to know is to learn not to burn, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah. That was a great song. I love that. The first time I ever heard it.
Yeah. You know who wrote that song?
No, I do not.
Me. I did it. That's
Good for you, Pastor.
That was
great. Yeah, I heard the music. I said, that sounds like, I think I know that from before, but then when I listened to the lyrics, I thought, oh, okay, that's a different twist.
Yeah.
So, very good. Hey, Pastor, I saw this meme the other day, and it's attributed to Albert Einstein, and I'd never seen it before, and I can't say for sure that it was Albert Einstein, but that doesn't detract from the truth. And I think it's pertinent for where we're at today. So could I share it with you?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. So this is a professor speaking to his students, his class. He says, why did God create evil? The answer struck me to the core of my soul. The professor at the university asking the students the following question. Everything that exists was created by God. One student bravely answered, yes, created by God. Did God create everything? The professor asked. Yes, sir, replied the student. The professor asked, if God created everything, then God created evil, since it exists. And according to the principle that our deeds define ourselves, then God is evil. The student became silent after hearing such an answer. The professor was very pleased with himself. He boasted to students for proving once again that faith in God is a myth. Then another student raised his hand and said, can I ask you a question, professor? Of course, replied the professor. The student got up and asked, professor, is cold a thing? What kind of question is that? Of course it exists. Haven't you ever been cold? The students all laughed at the young man's question. Then the young man answered, actually, sir, cold doesn't exist. According to the law of physics, what we consider cold is actually the absence of heat. A person or an object can be studied on whether it has or transmits energy. Absolute zero, minus 460 degrees Fahrenheit, is a complete absence of heat. All matter becomes inert and unable to react at this temperature. Cold does not exist. We created this word to describe what we feel in the absence of heat. Then he continued, professor, does darkness exist? Well, the professor responded, of course it exists. You're wrong again, sir. Darkness also does not exist. Darkness is actually the absence of light. We can study the light, but not the darkness. We can use Newton's prism to spread white light across multiple colors and explore the different wavelengths of each color. You can't measure darkness. A simple ray of light can break into the world of darkness and illuminate it. How can you tell how dark a certain space is? You measure how much light is present. Isn't that so? Darkness is a term man used to describe what happens in the absence of light. Now, the professor's a little perplexed, and the young man asked one more time, sir, does evil exist? This time he was uncertain, but he answered anyway. Of course, as I said before, we see him every day. Cruelty, numerous crimes, and violence throughout the world. These examples are nothing but a manifestation of evil. Then the student answered, evil does not exist, sir, or at least it does not exist for itself. Evil is simply the absence of God. It is like darkness and cold, a man-made word to describe the absence of God. God did not create evil. Evil is not faith or love, which exists as light and warmth. Evil is the result of the absence of divine love in the human heart. It's the kind of cold that comes when there is no heat, or the kind of darkness that comes when there is no light. And then it said the student was Albert Einstein.
Yeah, Einstein had made some other, I remember him, he made the statement that when it comes to theorizing, God doesn't have to.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's very good. Yeah.
He also said God is very clever, but God is never, never dishonest.
Amen. Amen. So I go back to this golden calf. I go back to being Moses. And believe me, I'm not no Moses. Okay. Although he knew he needed Aaron, because Moses didn't want to do it either. So maybe that is a good analogy. But doggone it, there's some good Christian people, or I thought were good Christian people, churchgoers, that used to support and love me and helped me 10 years ago, that now are supporting my adversary, and they're out doing lit drops for them. And they're telling me, I've never lied to these people. In 10 years, I've told them the truth every single time, and yet now they're believing the lie.
Well, we're seeing that happening again. The Lord Jesus said, when I return, will I find any faith left? Again, the degeneracy was happening, and these are all signs of the end times out there today. You know, what they're talking about is, they're saying trending. That's the one of the new words they're using out there, trending. In other words, you know, you're archaic. When we go back to the institution of marriage, it's, and I keep doing that because it's very, very important. The family unit is extremely important, okay? And what happens is now they're saying that to withhold your vows of marriage vows is stupid. It's archaic. It's Neanderthal.
Yeah, you know, marriage happens to be the first institution of government, isn't it? The basis of government.
Well, no, marriage was the first divine institution.
Right.
Marriage
divine
in a family, the church.
It sets up a system of government. The father setting down the laws and the obedience. It's a prototype of government, isn't it?
No, actually, it's after the marriage is after the Trinity. You've got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You got three. Marriage, you have the Father, the Mother, and the children.
The children, right.
But,
okay.
Yeah, but the divine institution is government. God gives, when he, God had given those 5 points of human government, and he made it very, very clear. Remember what the first point was? The first point was
given.
To whom it was given, you find that in the Noahic Covenant in verses Genesis 9, verses 10 through 12, and then 15 and 16. He gave it to all mankind for perpetual generations, an everlasting covenant. And then the second point was the intent. The intent of divine human government. Man was to govern for God. You've
for
got
God.
That. You find that in the first four verses, okay? But the
first
the,
four of what? Genesis
9. Genesis 9. But the important part, the most important part of this, and is verses 5 through 7, it's the entire purpose of human government. The entire purpose of human government
is the image of God.
To preserve the image of God. And then he tells you in verse 4, and say that in verse 3, that's where you get the statute of the death penalty. See, God gave man dominion of all the environment, mankind, humanity, not Al Gore and not the World Health Organization or the World Economic, but he gave to mankind, to humanity, dominion over the environment. But he kept dominion of man for himself. And that's where you get the statute of the death penalty. Whoever destroys God's image, they must forfeit their own life.
Life, right. Mm.
And so here, and then when you get it to the fourth point of divine human government is the means by which man must govern for God. And that's God's laws, God's statutes, God's covenants, God's promises, so on and so forth. In fact, you find it all if you go to 119th Psalm. It's all laid out there. And then the fifth point is this, that all nations and peoples that will be in compliance with the first 4 points will be at peace and not at war with God. I don't know of any nations today that's at peace with God.
No. Mm-hmm. You know where that is in Scripture?
Yeah, it's in Genesis chapter 9, the whole thing.
Genesis 9, all of it. Okay.
Wow. Pastor, that was wonderful. Thank you for that.
Well,
you know, I see what's going on and what's transcribing in Ohio and even in this race, because I ran it 10 years ago, and it is so different than it was back in 2014. The landscape has changed. The mindsets of people have changed. The delusions have changed. And maybe some of that has to do with COVID and what went on with there. But really, I think we literally are in the last days. So, Pastor, just share with, can you, if you can. I mean, I know why I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm doing it because I have to, because I'm obedient to God. Because obedience is better than sacrifice. And I'm being obedient to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What do you see is going to happen in the 2024? If you would, what do you think is going to happen in the upcoming election, the next several months? I've heard a lot of it's going to be a very hot summer. I know that the left is gearing up for riots again. And it looks like Trump's win is inevitable. I don't know that they can cheat enough like they did in 2020 to keep basement Biden winning again. So what do you see, though?
First, let me just say, when you say that the Lord is leading you, the Lord is leading you, people always ask me, how do you know? How do you know that's God? Well, you know, I know in my own life, you know, experience, and every other pastor has too, especially, you know, if you talk, for example, missionary, you say, Lord, I'm willing to go wherever you want me, but don't send me to Cleveland, Ohio. I'll go any place but Cleveland, Ohio. Now, the reason you're saying that is because that's where God wants to send you. You're knowing that, you see.
Yep.
And God is putting that there. And so, and this is the same thing here. I understand what you're doing. Believe me, I do understand. You don't really want to, but you know when God's saying, go take care of it, you got to do that. Now, after saying that, I'm seeing it's going to be, first, one of the things that they're going to do, they're going to pull out all stops. Like they've been doing this around the country, they've having Democrats are registering as Republicans, they're running Republicans, and then come November, they're all going to be voting, you know, for, you know, the Democrat that's run as a Republican. That's what they're doing out here. That's where you got the Rhino 22. That's one of the things they're going to do. The other things is they're going to, the mail fraud, we still have that mail-in ballot stuff. As long as you, and that is one of the easiest ways to cheat. And, but they understand that people are going to be watching. You can't do it. You know, what, I'll tell you what Mike Pence did. Mike Pence regrets what he did now.
He should.
Yeah.
He should.
He had a responsibility. He had a responsibility to say, look, there's accusations here, and it appears to be these people are standing here with hands full of documents, and they're saying that there's election fraud, and it was his job, Mike Pence's job, to say, look, I want to take a good look at this. I want 10 days, and we want to go through these and before I verify this, certify this election. Mike failed to do that.
Yep, you're right. I agree 100%.
And so
I agree. You know that whole thing. I don't know if you saw the video. I only saw it twice, and then I've never been able to find it again. After he did that, he fist bumped Nancy Pelosi.
And yeah.
He was going to sit down.
Not only did he fist bump her, but she handed him a coin. I could see something that was...
I didn't see that part. I didn't see that.
It looked like it looked like a coin to me that she handed him. Now, I don't know if it was a Bitcoin or what, but...
Yeah.
it very well could have been. But you know what? We got it right now, Steve. It's time for us to give an invitation. Joe, are you ready?
Please go ahead.
You got four minutes, Joe.
All right. Did this weekend one of the hymns want to read a couple lines from Rescue the Perishing. And this is why we always have an invitation at the end of the show. It's the last thing we want you to hear. And this hymn, few lines, reminds me exactly our purpose. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave, weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Though they are slighting him, still he is waiting, waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with him earnestly, plead with him gently. He will forgive if they only believe. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, cords that are broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing, duty demands it. Strength for thy labor, the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them, till the poor wanderer, Savior, has died. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. It's all about Jesus. It's all about his going to the cross, taking your place, my place, taking our sins and paying the price. The wages of sin is death. So Jesus took the sins of the world on his sinless, spotless soul in obedience to the Father and did that substitutionary, horrible death on the cross that we might, through faith in him, be saved. And we saw that word tonight when we started, repent. The whole secret to everything is repentance. From a repentant heart, the sinner calls to Father God saying, I am sorry. I am sorry that my sins put your son on that cross. I am sorry for what I've done. Please forgive me. And if you do that with a truly repentant heart, then you can call Jesus Christ, the Savior. Ask him to be your Lord, Lord of your life, all of your life, that you're going to put him first. You want to become a born-again believer, a child of the kingdom, a joint heir with Jesus in everlasting life. You want to be
1 minute, Joe.
New person, the scripture calls a new man, a new creation. And if you do this, Jesus will send you the down payment on eternal life, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, his own Holy Spirit, to dwell in you. You become your own high priest. You become, your body becomes a temple of the living God. And you truly are born again in spirit. That's your spiritual baptism. And you will find joy, peace, and happiness you've never known. And you, your life will be changed. And you begin a period of growth, growing in knowledge and love of our Savior Jesus Christ. No one can do it for you. No one, you know, I can't save you. Only Jesus can. The offer is his, but you must go to him, and you must first repent of your sins.
Thanks, Joe.
The key to everything is a repentant heart.
We're out of time. Steve, I want to thank you for being here. Listen, you can feel free to call in and sit in with us anytime between now and the election. We need for you to get going. And
thank you, brother.
We're out of time.
God bless. I love that. Thank you for the altar call.
Alrighty. We want to say good night. God bless. And always, always, always,
always
keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left. Hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Cable news, noisy, boring, out of touch. That's why Salem News Channel is different. We keep you in the know. Streaming 24/7 for free. Home to the greatest collection of conservative voices like Dennis Prager, Jay Sekulow, Mike Gallagher, and more. Salem News Channel is unfiltered and unapologetic. Watch anytime, on any screen, at snc.tv and local now, channel 525.